This is a True Foundations podcast. Real time, real life, real answers.
See, what happens with relativism is culture supersedes and changes truth.
True Foundations is a ministry that seeks to explain and apply biblical teaching to real life in today's ever-changing world. With a view towards building a stronger church, the teachings are focused on making Scripture work for people by encouraging them to allow the words of Jesus to change them from within.
So let's go back to Galatians. We're in Galatians chapter 5. And this particular section, the first verse of the chapter, I think is wonderful. This is what it says in my version. I actually prefer some other versions in this particular case, but this is the way it goes. Christ has liberated us into freedom. Therefore, stand firm and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. It's put like this. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That, I think, is the best way to say it. It's wonderful. Freedom. Take note, I, Paul, tell you that if you get circumcised, Christ will not benefit you at all. Again, I testify to every man who gets circumcised that he is obligated to keep the entire law. You who are trying to be justified by the law are alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. For by the Spirit we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness from faith. We've got to talk about freedom. Freedom, of course, is a value, and it doesn't get much better than that. One of the things that I always think about when we've been away, we've been back to where we come from, the area where we come from, it seems to get worse every time. It's as if the tumble into chaos, immorality, violence, all kinds of things. It's exponential. It's terrible. It's not the way it used to be. And then you compare that to the gospel. And you think about the freedom that the gospel brings. And we have to think about it. Are we really free? So you measure it against something. Now, I can't remember whether it's on the flight there or on the flight back, because it kind of, I zone in and out to a bit of a twilight thing when I'm on the aircraft. I'm not sure if I'm awake or if I'm asleep or what's going on. I'm in that kind of zone. I try and sleep as much as I can, but it's not the same, is it? I watched this film, and it was the story of Freddie Mercury. Now, most people know who that guy was. From the point of view of being a performer and a singer, there's hardly anybody to match him. Phenomenal. And I think there was one song that he sang, if I remember correctly, was something like, "I Want to Break Free." And you wonder why and what it was he wanted to break free from. I've got a few ideas about that. But here was somebody who was out of control. But is that not the case in the world at large? And are we not seeing that more and more today? In this Western world that we are a part of. And I would suggest that the major reason for that is that somehow the boundaries that the Christianization of the Western world, that doesn't mean everybody was a Christian, but at least law was based on the values. And there were things in society that were accepted as being normal and proper that were based upon biblical values by most people, even the lawbreakers. They actually knew they were breaking the law. And some people don't even get that anymore. And the undermining of the Christian standard in society has opened the way for an escalation of all kinds of evil. Now, what does that bring? It brings bondage. It is the opposite of freedom. Increasingly, the Western societies are not living in a free world. And if you are one that is interested in political developments around, especially in the Western world, there is without doubt an undermining of the principle of freedom which has been expressed through the democratic position that those kind of countries have. There is an undermining of freedom. And the things that are happening in today's society, they are not freedom. They are bondage. Even though the society puts them out there as we must include everyone, acceptance of everything, as if that's freedom. Well, it is not. It is the opposite. And so here we are, an increasing minority of Christian people. We look at that and we wonder about it. And we are troubled by it. And we see the undermining of freedom in society. But Paul is not addressing society, is he? He's addressing Christian people. And if we who are in Christ, we look at society, we see the extremes of what bondage brings. But do we look inward? And do we listen to the voice of Paul as he says it is for freedom that Christ has set you free? And he says, stand firm on it. Don't let slavery, bondage, don't let it creep in and take hold of you again, because that's what you used to be like, but now. Now, freedom is a very, very difficult concept. It's all or nothing. You know, there are things in life that are incremental. So here we are Christian people. We're still a work in progress. There are things that we still need to pay attention to, maybe put away, maybe to put on. Lots of things like that, things to learn. If you like, we need to improve ourselves. An outworking of the gospel within us. All of that. And some of it is measurable. But actually, freedom isn't like that. It's all or nothing. You cannot be a little bit free. You cannot be mostly free. You are either free or you are not. And I think this is one of the problems for Christian people, because many are actually not in freedom. They have received everything that is necessary to be in freedom, but somehow they have not embraced it. Freedom is something that takes place internally, and then it shows itself outwardly. But it's all or it's nothing. It's not incremental. It's everything or you're not free. Now, actually, Paul is expressing that. His example is to Jewish believers. His example is about circumcision. That's not our example today. It's the example that shows us the reality that freedom is all or nothing. I think it's a bit like this. So there is the habitual criminal, and he gets caught. So he does his time. And while he's in prison, he thinks, I've got to change my life. I don't want to live like this anymore. When I get out, it'll be different. So he serves his time, and he's free. Well, he is free. Because the prison doors have been opened, he's walked out. He's free. Now he's in society, he's got lots of choices to make. But he gets out and he finds it's a bit more difficult than he was hoping. The handouts that he gets are not enough. He's struggling to find a job because, well, he's got a criminal record. And so there is a disappointment that settles in. And he thinks, well, I'm not going to go back to the old way of life, but I'll do me one last job. And so he does. Or perhaps it's even worse than that. Perhaps it's the fact that when he was inside, he had room and board. All his decisions made for him. Life's easy. Well, is it? I don't know. I've never been in prison. But in a sense, for that guy, life was easier in than it is out. So what does he do? He goes back so that maybe somebody will tap him on the shoulder and say, you're nicked. And off he goes back in again. He was never free inside. He walked through the prison gates, but inside he was never free. The pull of the old life and the responsibilities of the new, he couldn't handle it. So what did he do? He dabbled again in the old. This is the kind of thing that Paul was saying. This is the problem of legalism and other such ways of thinking, that they say really that the gospel is not quite enough. Well, yes, of course, Christ has set me free. I'm a Christian now. But there is something missing. And because there is something missing, he goes back to the familiar. Now, with the Jew, circumcision was, if you like, the flagship of legalism, the old way. So he goes back to something that is legalistic to help him get through the new Christian life. It's a bit like that. And Paul, the way he explains these things, he's an all or nothing guy. We would call him an extremist today. And you know, people don't like extremists, do they? They're afraid of them. And because the extremist somewhere is going to call into question what somebody else thinks or does. That's not comfortable. So Paul, he was, in the eyes of many, an extremist. That's probably why, even in the early church, many people didn't accept him, didn't even like him. This is how extreme he is. I'll tell you this. If you go for the circumcision thing, that's just one thing. You think about that in the context of the whole Old Testament law. It's one tiny, tiny little thing. Well, does that really matter? Is that how the way Christian people think? It doesn't really matter. It's only one little thing. If it helps me through, if somehow it gives me a sense of comfort or identity, if it just helps me along a little bit, surely that is a good thing. I'm sure that God won't be upset with me if. But that's not the message that Paul brings. He's an extremist. If you take hold of one little thing, then you might as well take all of it. And what Christ has done for you, he's not talking about eternal life now, he's talking about life here. What he has done for you will be of no value in the way that you lead your Christian life. That's pretty extreme, isn't it? There's no wiggle room with that. But isn't that the rule for freedom? It's all or nothing. The problem is, it's hard to tie down. I can look at loads of folks and say, well, that person's free, but that person isn't. The problem with the people that are not free is they're trying to be free. If you are free, you're free. You don't need to try. You've accepted that it is actually done. Now, of course, in freedom, you have all kinds of responsibilities. You've got to up your game. You've got to live in a much more effective way. And he even talks about that when he says the hope of righteousness, which is coming, but it's also now. We've got to live it. So the person who is truly free, really speaking, lives a life more righteously than the one that is not. The trouble is that the one that it is not, who is trying hard, externally might look as if they are doing the right things. But why are they doing it? They're doing it to try and be free. They're doing it in a way to try and earn their salvation, the benefits of it, but they're not free. They're trapped. The one little thing embraces the whole. If you keep trying, then you will never be free. I think it's hard work trying to be free. I think it is the most difficult thing because it is not achievable. You cannot try and then become free. To become free, you must embrace fully the new identity that is found only in Christ. You must lay down every sense of, every idea that the things that you do somehow make your salvation better and complete, and they don't. The way to freedom is actually full surrender. The way to freedom is actually laying everything down that you can control, and the total force of your life, your spiritual life, it comes from Christ and Christ alone. Just from the physical point of view, and this is sometimes how we get all messed up, because there is a physical life and there is a spiritual life. In this physical life, you need your food, you need your water, and you probably need your meds as well, especially as life carries on. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the sustenance that comes from Christ and Christ alone. And if we mess with that, if we start looking at that and taking away from it or adding to it, we're not free. Christ is no longer our life force. And if he is not our life force, it does not matter how much we try, we will never, ever accomplish what is necessary. We've accepted bondage. You go to the doctors and the doctor says, I'm going to give you this medication. Now, this is not an absolute because I know that doctors mess up. And there's all sorts of other factors. But in general terms, you go. It's like the guy said to me, he said, you keep taking these tablets, you'll be fine. If you don't, you'll die. So what do? I take them. I didn't agonize over it. I didn't go away and have go on some kind of retreat. Retreats are good, by the way. I didn't go on a retreat and just examine it and say, now, oh dear, now, I'm not really sure about this. I'm a bit conflicted. I should have taken these. I should have taken them. I know what I'll do. I'll take them one day and then not the other day. I'll take half of them and see how it goes. No. You take them and you live. You stop taking them, you're probably going to die. It's a bit like that, you know, in the gospel. We mess with the prescription. That's what it's like. Oh, I'm just longing to be free. But I'll take this little bit and I'll take that, but I won't do this and I won't do that. And then we wonder why. It's hard work trying. You've got to give up. You've got to leave stuff. You've got to embrace fully the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't, it's a bit of a grace buster. Because if you don't, you will not fully have the grace of God that he would freely give to you, so that then, now you are free, you can walk in the fullness of the gospel. You who are trying to be justified by the law are alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. You see, if I sat down with Paul, I think I'd kind of get it with him. We'd have a really good conversation. I'm saying it in different words. I've not made it up myself. I've read it here in different words. But not only that, is it not the Spirit of God that enlightens you and takes those words and makes them real for you? I think we'd have a great conversation. What a relief. Here's somebody else who's an extremist. We got a few extremists here. It's wonderful. Actually, they're only extreme because the world says we're extreme. We're only extreme because so many Christians are messing around with the gospel and not accepting the fullness of it and are not walking in freedom. They're trying another way. So in order to feel a little better, kind of this is the way it should be, but you're an extremist. I think it must be wonderful if all of those of us were extremists in the gospel got together and just, well, we wouldn't be extreme anymore, would we? Because what do you measure extreme against? If everybody's on the same level, there's no extreme. This is what Paul's talking about. And he has to push it. And he has to push it hard. Because if he doesn't, they will not listen and they will not change and they will not lay down the control that they have regarding even the gospel and the life that proceeds from it. So I would suggest this. And I know that some of you are really trying hard. You've been trying hard for a long, long time. And it's not even that your motive is wrong. You want to do well. But I would suggest to you, stop trying. It's killing you. It's crushing you. It's tying you up in chains, bondage. Let's lay it all down. Let's put it away. Let's recognize that our life is in Christ and Christ alone. Let us embrace, it's called faith, we believe in the fullness of what Jesus did on the cross. Let's rely upon that totally, without compromise. You don't have to go and pray and fast for a week to discover it's just there, it's straightforward, just do it, and then, when you are free, the grace of God, it comes, and it gives you everything that you need. And the hopes that you have, which are connected to the Christian life, the hope of righteousness, they begin to form within you. And you begin, by the grace of God, to live in the fullness that only freedom can bring. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. True Foundations is headed by David J. Jones, a preacher and teacher of the Word of God. His passion is to help individual Christians discover their true identity in Christ and to learn how grace operates in their lives. Currently residing in Canada, he is taught in both North America and the UK and has listeners all over the world. If you have questions about anything you've heard today, please email us at info@truefoundations.ca. Or for more information on True Foundations resources, please visit our website at truefoundations.ca.